Scott, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. In Chicago, you got Taze, you got Kane, you got Keith, you got Seabrook and Hosa and Sharp, and these guys are great, and rightfully so. Corey Crawford's numbers in the playoffs this year are outstanding. He's basically one percentage point behind Henrik Lundqvist, but no one's talking about Crawford. Is he underappreciated, or is that team defense just that good in front of him?
It's weird because it feels like everyone's talking about Crawford, but in this respect that no one's talking about him. You know, I think it's how everyone kind of works in Crawford right now, is saying that, well, he's not getting respect, but maybe should he? It's kind of what he went through last season. The last two regular seasons, he's been above average, pretty good. I wouldn't say great. You know, his save percentage this year, I think, was 22nd in the league. Was certainly pretty awful. Probably the first few months of the season picked up when he came back from injury in January. But like last year in the playoffs, he's taken it to another level. You know, his save percentage is more around 930, and you know, just really consistent. And at times, the reason why the Blackhawks have won games. So I don't know if it's that he gets lack of respect during the regular season. You know, he's a good goalie, and but I wouldn't say he's an elite one during the regular year season. And now that it's come to playoff time, he's taken it to another level, and he certainly. I think the last 2 years in the playoffs, he's been as good as anyone. So it's hard to gauge where he should be in the play, you know, kind of in that respect picture. But certainly, I think a lot of national guys, I know in Chicago now, are kind of asking those same questions, whether, you know, if he's not getting enough respect. And it seems like it's coming around just as it did last year in the playoffs, where people had the same kind of question saying, you know, why isn't everyone talking about him? And it seems like it's coming slowly but surely, but people are talking about him.
Scott, L.A. should be more rested heading into Game 2, and I thought at times during Game 1 they carried the play a bit. Do you expect this to be a long series after what you saw in Game 1?
Yeah, no, I thought the Kings outplayed the Blackhawks for you know, after the first 5 or 6 mm-hmm. minutes where the Blackhawks really dominated possession, and you know, the puck was in the Kings zone most of that, you know, the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game. And then from there, the Kings kind of swayed that game, especially in the second period. I think they had 17 shots on goal, and you know, I think the Blackhawks felt fortunate, you know, I somehow to be leading after 2 periods still. So Blackhawks did a better job of containing the Kings. But, you know, going back and watching the tape, I mean, that Kopitar line had chances. And, you know, it's kind of, I think, you know, Sutter talked about it today, saying they feel good how they play. They felt like they, you know, there were a couple opportunities there they just weren't able to put in. And overall, you know, despite the circumstances they have in place so quickly after Game 7 of the last series, that they felt like they played pretty well, and I'm sure a few days of extra rest will certainly help them as well.
This matchup, I think, you know, Chicago wins Game 1. This one, to me, is Game 7 written mm-hmm. all over it. The Blackhawks, to get up on the Kings, and even getting up on 2-0, we've seen, isn't a big deal for this LA King team. They don't mind if they lose 3 straight at any time. They'll come back and win. What do you see as the key advantage Chicago might have in the series?
Well, right now I think it's Crawford. You know, Quick can be streaky. Quick can be obviously really good when he needs to be. But right now, teams got to figure out a way to beat Crawford. You know, they're certainly. I think Game 3 of that of the first round series against the Blues, are up 2-0, and Hitchcock felt like they played their best game in that Game 3 in Chicago. And the United Center, and, you know, it ended up being like a 1-0 game with an empty netter late. But, you know, Crawford's been stepping up big in those key games, and I feel like the Wild outplayed the Blackhawks at times, and the Blues certainly did, and they ended up winning both those series in 6 because Crawford's been, you know, so good at you know, those key moments. I think the Blackhawks' penalty kill has been another thing that's been, you know, it leads the league in the playoffs, and you know, they've been capitalizing a couple on their chances, even that one goal last time, and that, you know, holding the Kings down on their 2 power play chances. I mean, I feel like it's some of those little things and some of the big things, like, you know, Kane and Taves, you know, they seem to score, Blackhawks seem to score clutch goals when they need to, where I feel like the puck bounces both ways at certain times, and the Blackhawks have capitalized on those chances. You know, when you look at Kane and Taves with 7 game-winning goals so far and the 9 wins, that it says something that they're, you know, coming through when it matters most.
Scott, obviously the Kings went 7 in both their first series, and you have to think that they're somewhat banged up. I know teams are very tight-lipped about injuries in the playoffs, but how do you think the Hawks are holding up health-wise and fatigue-wise?
Yeah, you know, they're about to get Shaw back. Andrew Shaw's been out the last 6 games after getting hurt in that first game against Minnesota, so he skated for the first time in practice today. It sounds like it's 50-50 for tomorrow whether he plays. But I expect them back in game three if it's not tomorrow. So, aside from that, I think they're dealing with some minor things, but nothing major. This is probably about as healthy as they've been all season, where, with Spurs, especially late in the season, they were without Taves and Kane for those last 2 weeks and kind of got by that, and Hosa was hurt and sharp at certain parts of the season. But I feel like they've kind of weathered those storms, and now they for the most part, they're healthy. It doesn't seem like, even Jarmelson was playing through. He wasn't able to talk for the last few weeks and was wearing some kind of, wearing a neck protective guard, and he played through that. So nothing that's, been able to keep any of the Blackhawks off the ice, and the fact that Shaw's coming back, they have a full team for the first time in a few weeks.
In Chicago, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, who's more beloved by Blackhawks fans?
I think it's pretty even. They both came in the organization at the same time, and they both were there for the rise, and they obviously have their own different skill sets, but I think they're equally loved, and in fact, they had equal contracts last time, and they do have the same agent, so that worked out. But I imagine that's how the Blackhawks like to do it again. That number is going to jump up from what it is now. I think it's at $6.5 million. I would imagine it's a little bit closer to that $10 million mark that they're going to pay him this time around. And they may have two contracts coming their way still. So the Blackhawks obviously have a lot of incentive from a winning standpoint, but also from what those two guys mean to the city and how, when people kind of think of the Blackhawks, return from their dismal years, that Kane and Taves are a big reason for that.
The reason I asked that question, Jonathan Taves, and because he's Canadian and Kane's American, he's probably never going to be in the same conversation in Canada just because of it. But, I look at the Chicago Blackhawks, and I know people say that Taves is the leader. They call him Captain Serious. But Patrick Kane seems to be the guy who just electrifies you and scores bigger goals than anyone. I know Taves has the game-winning goal thing, but I went back and looked, and when they won the Stanley Cup last year, didn't have one game winner, and game winners to me can be a tad misconstrued. If you score the second goal in a 5-1 win, I'm not sure it's that riveting of a right. of a stat. But Patrick Kane has three series winning goals, clinching in overtime in the last few years. That's the guy who seems, when they need a huge goal, it's Patrick Kane.
Yeah, and Taves does a lot of things that don't show up on the score sheet, and from a defensive standpoint, where his quality of the competition is, the tops of the league, and he's certainly matched up against the Kopitar line, and he sees the top line often, and teams often go with their game plan to stop that line because it is Taves and Hosa, and oftentimes even Sharp. So it's hard to match up with the Blackhawks because of that reason, and Kane benefits from that sometimes. But, Kane, he's the highlight guy. He's the guy that does amazing things with the puck that no one else can do or very few can do. And he does score clutch goals. He has a knack of, getting that puck at the right time, but also finishing. He's so much, I guess, even as an objective person, just it's fun to watch him play hockey. He does a lot of neat things with the puck, and the fact that he is able to do in the clutch too, that I think he's, over the years he's gotten more comfortable doing it where he kind of expects to do it. So I think it takes a unique personality that he's able to convert in those circumstances too. So, I think both guys are special in their own right, but when you look at SportsCenter, you work on the highlight plays, it's Kane that usually shows up for that reason.
Scott, it's kind of hard to believe or even say that these two are struggling, but Hosa and Sharp, both just have two goals in the playoffs, and they're not for lack of chances. Their shooting percentages are under .500, though, and pretty remarkable of where the Hawks have gotten to thus far without them. Is there some frustration building there with them?
I don't think with Hosa. I think Hosa has actually played really well throughout the playoffs, and he's had something like 9 assists in the last 7 games, and so he's not converting the chances, but certainly creating the chances for others, and he's at the right of the top of the league in takeaways again. So he's playing both sides of the ice and at a really high level. Sharp, I think, is a little bit more frustration where his game is, he's become more of an all-around player, but goal scoring is still his thing, and he's taking chances and he's had some breakaway attempts and not able to convert. And now that he's even been, he's playing the second line with Kane last game and got switched with Brandon Saad, so he's actually going to be playing the third line again here the next game, and those offensive chances obviously aren't at the same level. So You know, there may be some of Quinville's thought there that, you know, if it's not working for him, maybe we put him somewhere else. And so, I think there's definitely a frustration with him and when his thing is scoring. And he's played well in the playoffs before. He played well last year, and, you know, throughout the season, he's been so consistent, whether creating or scoring for himself, that, you know, it hasn't clicked for him in the playoffs. Like you said, the chances are there. So he's happy with those chances, and some of them have been quality, but I do think there is frustration.
Jimmy, one last one. Any injuries the Hawks guys playing through, hiding injuries? Any suspects that you think of guys who are banged up that we should watch as the series progresses?
There's been some speculation about Sharp. I haven't seen anything distinct. You know, when someone struggles like that, sometimes that there's, you know, Hanzus. You know, I saw him with an ice pack on his hand, but that guy seems to be one of the, you know, tougher guys on the team. Will play through anything. Nothing too noticeable that I've seen other than those few things. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Shaw bounces back, where he's been out for a few weeks. And I think that injury is a little bit more severe than they thought it at first, but he looked pretty good on the ice today too. So nothing too, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Sharp says at the end of the series maybe he's playing through something just based on his production. But nothing too noticeable.
Well, we appreciate the rundown. Enjoy an extra day off.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.